Welcome to Daily Devotion with Ken Gurley. Devotions designed to inspire you on your daily walk with God. Each day we walk through the vital principles of the abundant life. Our Lord can do above and beyond all we ask or think. Here's your host, Ken Gurley.
Who among us hasn't felt used? It's an age-old problem. We do something for someone only to have them take it for granted, not be thankful for it, or worse yet, to turn on us. Sort of the drowning man trying to drown the rescuer syndrome. We've all been there. It's one of those paradoxical things. We ask God to use us, then we complain when we feel used. We need to learn this element of service, one that's not taught, not encouraged. In fact, it's discouraged, but I want to add it to your vocabulary today. Every believer serves, every believer ministers. How they serve, what they do, we call a ministry. And there's no person born again, born of heaven, who doesn't have some gift, some capacity for service. You do, I do, all of us do. This week on Daily Devotion, as we face the difficulties of life, let's talk about what it means to be used and to feel used. It was a number of years ago, Dr. Bruce Winston of Regent University compiled what he called the four C's of Christian leadership, four components, four elements of service. The first C is calling. Jesus said, I do the will of him who sent me. You and I operate, function, and serve in the realm of God's will, God's calling upon our lives. You see this constantly in the life of Jesus Christ. Time and again, he makes reference to fulfilling not the will of man, not the will of the flesh, but the will of God. It's God's will for us to find our place of service. God calls you and me to serve. He called his disciples. We know the 12 apostles, but he also called others. We forget the many, many people who followed Jesus after he called them. He sends the 12 out on one occasion, 70 or 72 out the next time. God doesn't limit his call to simply those who will be pillars of the assembly, those who would suffer martyrdom or write scriptures. No, God calls every one of us. He called the rich young ruler to sell all and follow him. He called the women who gave so selflessly to his cause. He calls you and me. He called Joseph through dreams. He called David with a cause. He called Samuel through his voice, saying his name in the near empty temple at night. God calls. He calls us to service. That's the first element, calling. The second element is competence. If you and I are going to serve, we should serve with the spirit of excellence, giving it our very best to develop our capabilities, our competencies. When it came time to fashion the vessels for worship in the tabernacle in the wilderness, God told Moses that he had called Bezalel of the tribe of Judah, that he had filled this man with his spirit and had given him the ability and knowledge to fashion works of gold, silver, and bronze. That craftsmanship, that competency had a divine origin. Could I just stop and say, we divide things between the secular and the spiritual. We believe that our worship, our service to God is solely found within the confines of the sanctuary. But each and everything we do, we are called to do for the glory of God. Thus, each work of our hands, each effort we make, we should make it the best we can, because we're not doing it for man. We're doing it as unto the Lord. It's part of our worship. There should be no blemishes on the sacrifice. Okay, it's a pet peeve of mine. Can I just get it off my chest? People get sloppy in what they do for God. They have an it'll do mindset. Can I say what we do for God should not only be our best? We should strive to grow better at what we do. Our efforts today should supersede those of yesterday. We should grow skillful in what we do for God. What we do for God, we should do it well. We should do it with all of our heart. So first, calling. Second, competence. The third element is confidence. We can know what we're supposed to do. We can even know how to do it well. But if we're tentative, self-conscious, hesitant, unsure, then our service for God will not be what it should be. Let's look at this a moment. We should have no confidence in the flesh. Our confidence should be in the Lord. We need to possess an I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me attitude. Simon Peter was a case study in this. He stepped out of the boat. He walked on water. That's confidence in the Word of God. But then he got his eyes off Jesus and on his circumstances, and his own reasoning took hold. I can't walk on water. I can't do this. And that's where the law of gravity superseded all else. Beginning to sink, the Bible says, he cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus said, why did you doubt? That doubt, not simply self-doubt, but doubting God. Throughout our Lord's ministry, he pointed out the little faith and the no faith that creates huge problems for us. In that second trip to the upper room that fanned the flames of revival in the early church, something powerful happened. You remember the first trip, they received the outpouring of the Spirit. The second trip, they pray for boldness, confidence. It's the paradox of service. We are to be meek, not to think of ourselves more highly than we should, but we are also to be bold and confident in the Lord. It's a difficult balance, one attainable only through an extreme awareness of our dependence upon God. But when we are constantly conscious of our need for Him, then you and I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. We have confidence toward God and not toward the flesh. So we've considered three C's, calling, competence, confidence. Here's the fourth one, character. All service to the Lord is marked with character. I realize we all make mistakes. There's none perfect. We all fall short of the glory of God. But from what I know about God and His Word, I'm hesitant to excuse ourselves from reflecting His character. We are to be living sacrifices. The God who will accept no blemished sacrifices will not tolerate our excusing and minimizing our own faults and failures. Read the Beatitudes. Read the book of Philemon. Read 1 and 2 Peter. You're going to come away with the conclusion character is important. The 15th Psalm, O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. Then look down a verse later. Those who would dwell with God do not slander, do not mistreat their neighbor, do not find occasion to malign or discredit their friends. Character. Character in our service for God. Think about this. When you look in the New Testament and you see Paul talk about leadership in the local church, all of the many qualities, what's emphasized more than any other? Not a skill, not a talent, not ability, not charisma, but integrity. What we profess within, we are without. We don't just talk the talk, we walk the walk. Those four elements of service, calling, competence, confidence, and character. It's what it takes to be used of God. But I want to add a fifth element to it all. I call it carelessness. There should be a certain carelessness we have about our service to God. Jesus said the left hand should know what the right hand is doing. We don't need to flowchart everything we do to make certain that all we do is efficient or cost effective. Because if we sow sparingly, we reap sparingly. But if we sow bountifully, we reap bountifully. Remember the parable of the four soils? The sower sowed good seed into all four soils. Did the sower know that the chances were great that the seed sown amidst the thorns would be choked out? Yes. But that knowledge did not stop him from sowing. There was a carelessness about what he did. Judas pointed out that Mary's offering to Jesus could have been sold and the proceeds fed the poor, but Jesus said, leave her alone. This seemingly careless act will rebound for all eternity. I really believe this, that the lives we touch, the acts of worship that outlive us, we're probably not even aware of, that we blessed others without knowing we blessed them. Those things we think were most consequential, those acts of service we thought most important, may not be so at all. It could be those seemingly accidental, serendipitous things we do that transform lives. We cast our bread on the waters. We have no idea who will be blessed downstream. We give to causes and missions, not knowing who will be touched by it. There is a carelessness involved in our service. It's found in the Old Testament. Don't reap the corners of the field. Leave those to strangers. Don't look back when you're reaping. Leave the gleanings to the widows. Purposeful purposelessness, carelessness that honors God. And that's what we need in serving others, that fifth element of carelessness. Don't examine too closely what you're doing. Don't expect to be always rewarded by others. In fact, you may expect to feel used sometimes. But continue with what you're doing and let God sort out the results in the end. So in those times when you feel used, keep your eyes on the Lord and leave the results in His hands. You simply don't know what God is going to do through your efforts. This side of glory, you won't know. But you say, Pastor, you don't know the people I work with. You don't know the people I live with. You don't understand what I'm going through. I agree with you. I don't know. But I take great consolation in knowing that God knows. He knows the way we take. He orders our steps. He leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake so that He will receive the glory. That was the attitude that kept Mother Teresa, those sisters of charity that worked with her, ministering to those in need, helping those thought unlovable. On her wall, Mother Teresa had a modified version of some sayings written by Dr. Kent Keith, what he called paradoxical sayings, what Mother Teresa called anyway. People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you're successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight, but create anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some may be jealous, but be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. Give the best you have, and it will never be enough for some, but give your best anyway. Because in the final analysis, it's between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. And that's the quality of service we need, a carelessness in our lives. We give. We give as unto the Lord. Yes, you may feel used at times. But remember this, the master in the parable of wheat and tares said, give it till the harvest. Things will be sorted out then. The worthless will be separated from the worthwhile. Just be attentive to the areas of your life. Keep doing what you know to do. Even when you feel neglected and unnoticed, the all-seeing eye of God is watching you, and your labors are not in vain.
Thank you for sharing in daily devotion with Ken Gurley. We pray this ministry has been a source of encouragement and strength to you. Please be mindful that your financial support enables us to meet with you each day. To give a donation or connect with us, visit our website at kengurley.com. There you will also find the latest books, podcasts, and resources. Blessed 90 Days to Change Your World is Pastor Gurley's latest book. You can get your copy of this life-changing book at kengurley.com. May God's favor rest on you in every way until we meet again.